Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket Event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. The elites are battling it out on Lay Lake at the Whataburger Bassmaster Elite this week. And next week, we'll have the top three and a full report on that event. But this week, we're double dipping on the Rapala Winter Circle with Powell Kemp, who went wire to wire for a 3.5-pound win at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Bugs Island, just an hour or so from Powell's home. He's coming up a little bit later on in the show. Also on today is Dakota Lithium Pro Brock Mosley to tell us more about those batteries after Dakota Lithium took over sponsorship of the Elite Rookie of the Year race. But up first is Seth Elkins, who partnered with Dale Hansard of Jacksonville State in Alabama to win the Strike King Bassmaster College Series event at the Red River with a two-day total of 29 pounds, 9 ounces. So Seth joins us now on the VMC Redline Hook in the Rapala Winner's Circle, the first of two today. Seth, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Congratulations on getting the win. Now, you guys, Jacksonville State, for our listeners around the country, they hear Jacksonville State, of course, they're going to think Jacksonville, Florida. How often do you have to tell people that Jacksonville State is actually in Alabama?
Well, if they're from Alabama, not that often, but everywhere else, it's pretty much every single time.
It is pretty much every single time. Now, you and Dale are both rising seniors. How long have you guys partnered together? Have you been partnered your entire time at Jack State, or is this a new partnering?
We actually partnered and fished last year, and then this is our second year together. We have one more year next year, and then Dale's going to graduate, but I'll be fishing my fifth and final year of eligibility. But we've been fishing for 2 years together.
So when you're, you know, fishing on the college circuit and you're in college, what is your major? Are you thinking marketing? You know, what is the thing? Is it fisheries, biology? What is the thing that you want to major in that kind of dovetails with a potential career as a professional fisherman?
Well, right now I'm majoring in computer science to be a software engineer. So, okay. I mean, I could go in just on the professional fishing side. I could make websites, any software like you see TextTrack and anything like that. I could go in and potentially develop new software and update old software that needs updating, anything like that.
What is the goal for you? I mean, you and Dale, I mean, you guys both got an eye on, all right, get through this college deal and eventually hit the opens and try to make it to the elites. I mean, is that the number one goal, to try and make a living as a professional fisherman?
Oh, of course. I think it's anybody's a goal that tournament fishes, bass fishing, is to someday hold that blue trophy above their head. But that would honestly be a dream come true. And it may be a while from now, but we're definitely going to give it a shot eventually.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You have claimed a spot now in the national championship with this victory here. But talk to me about, you know, later on, we're going to talk to Paul Kemp. He won the Open. It was only an hour from his house. You guys were running more than that on the water to get to your spot at the Red River. Now, the Red River, is that's got to be, I don't know, 6 or 8 hour drive from where you guys live. You get on this body of water, and then you decide to run for a couple of hours to your spot. What made you find this very remote spot up in Pool 5?
Well, we got down there on Sunday, and we didn't get to fish Sunday. But we went Monday and Tuesday, and we did not have a bite. We fished from about 6 o'clock in the morning to we were putting the boat on the trailer when the dawn to dusk lights were cutting on. And we just – the only fish we caught was a black drum on Monday. But we found this little boat ramp in Pool 5, and it was an hour and a half away from the Airbnb we were staying in. And we said, let's just go up there and see what happens. The worst thing that can happen is we don't catch any fish like we've been doing the last 2 days. And we found this one spot, and we caught one fish, and it was like a pound and a half. We were like, okay, we're just going to shake them off for the rest of the day. And along this stretch of bank that was about 300 yards long, I think we got 15 bites. And that was our registration day, so we had a half day and had to get off the water. And we were talking that night, and we were like, well, it's the only place we got bites, so we're going to have to run up there and see what happens. And at this point, we honestly didn't know if we had enough gas to get up there. But we ended up sending it and ended up working.
Was there any gas that you could get along the way to get back? I mean, you guys burned about 80 gallons, 40 gallons a day or so, which is pretty much a full load. Was there places that you were passing where you knew that you could get gas?
Not that we saw. The Red River is honestly really, really bare. There's not much on the banks you can stop at. Each day when we got back to the ramp, we would look in the gas tank, and there was only about 2 inches left of gas. But we weren't hurting. We had to lower the RPMs on the motor a few times so we knew we were going to make it, but we weren't sweating it after that first day.
Caspiana area, where this creek was that they got to. So how much time did you have left to fish when you got there each day and making sure that you were comfortable getting back?
We only had about 3 hours, 45 minutes to fish max, and that was really cutting it. I know the second day we were pulling up to the lock as the gates were shutting.
Wow. And so the lock time as well as the run time for sure. Now, on day one, you guys had that 6.5 pounder that Dale caught, which anchored that bag pretty good. That's basically half of the weight that you guys had on day one. Talk to me about how he caught that.
Absolutely. We just pulled up in the creek that we fished for both days, and we were fishing that same I'm a skimmer, and on this one tree sticking out of the water, it was pretty much textbook. I wasn't looking over at it, but it sounded like a bird fell down and got it out of the water, or an alligator was hitting it or something. And I knew if it was a bass, it was going to be the biggest thing seen out of that pond in a while. But we ended up getting it in the boat, and it only had one hook in it. I got it in the net and got it in, and the lure just popped out of its mouth. But it was a pretty sight to see for the second fish of the day.
So what you're saying is you're taking credit for that catch, not him. I mean, yeah, sure, he hooked it. He got it near the boat. But, I mean, you know, if you weren't good with the net, just as it was coming off, basically you guys don't win the tournament. I mean, let's just tell it the way it is.
That's exactly the way it is. I mean, he did everything right. He caught the fish, but if it wasn't in the net, if it popped off halfway or popped off right at the boat, then you'd have somebody else on the phone right now for sure.
Basically all top water, though, whether it was the Whopper Plopper or whether it was the I'm a Skimmer, I mean, it was all pretty much on top.
Oh, yeah, it was all on top. We flipped the jig some. We threw the mag draft around, square bill, spinner bait, all that stuff, just seeing if we could pick up a few more bites. But the only thing they would bite was top water.
What kind of water temp did you have?
It was high 60s. I think it was 68 on Thursday and then 69 on Friday. So it stayed about the same, but it was rising.
Any other boats up there? I mean, did you see anybody when you were making the run even up that far?
There was about 11 boats that made the run to Pool 5. And then there was one team from Campbellsville University that fished the other side of the creek that we were fishing. But they only had like 10 pounds a day.
So you get this victory, you get yourself into the national championship, and it's good for Jack State, right? I mean, this fishing team at Jack State now, getting this win for the team. How big a team? We know that Auburn has a great team. You know, they have a bunch of guys on it. How big a team is it over at Jack State?
Well, this year it's only Dale and I that are fishing Bassmaster Trail. Yeah, we have one other team that's fishing the Coosa River Team Trail, but last year we had 4 boats, and then all of those guys graduated. But it's just Dale and I fishing this trail this year.
Wow, you guys are going to have to get it. Look, you're both rising seniors. You're going to have to, you know, this is good exposure, I would think, for the program to, you know, get some more guys to know that they can go there, they could fish there, to get some help and keep this thing going.
Absolutely, because we had that team win the wild card at Logan Martin last year. And so the university is really starting to put some stuff out there on us. And, you know, some people are actually seeing that Jacksonville State has a fishing team.
Really good for you guys. Well, congratulations on the win. Pass along my congratulations to Dale. And good luck in a national championship.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, that's tremendous stuff. Strike King College Series winners right there. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Dakota Lithium Pro Brock Mosley will join us. We'll talk about that product as well as Dakota Lithium has taken over sponsorship of the Rookie of the Year Award on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, the segment of the show brought to you by the fine folks in Anderson, South Carolina, the home of Lake Hartwell. And look, the folks that visit Anderson, they just do such a great job. There's so much hospitality over there is what I'm trying to say. And when you go over there, whether you're fishing or whether you're just going to Anderson to hang out, it's just a fantastic place. But make no bones about it, Lake Hartwell is tremendous. And, of course, Green Pond Landing is second to none when it comes to a great facility. So check out Lake Hartwell, check out Green Pond Landing, and check out Anderson, South Carolina. You also might want to check out Dakota Lithium Batteries, because they have taken over sponsorship of the Rookie of the Year Chase this year. And, if you're going to talk about Dakota Lithium Batteries, you have to talk to Brock Mosley, right? And, well, we know he's out there fishing right now as we speak, at Lay Lake in the Elite Series event there. But through the magic of technology, he joins us now for a few moments, and he is on the VMC hook, and he joins us now. Brock, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. Getting ready for, hopefully have a decent week here at Lay Lake.
Yeah, it would be good. And then off to the Sabine River as well. We'll get to your season here in just a few moments. But, you know, Dakota Lithium, great sponsor of yours. When people think, that's what's tremendous about a relationship like you have with that company. When I saw the news Dakota Lithium was sponsoring the Rookie of the Year, it just popped straight into my head, Brock Mosley, because, you're so closely associated, even though they do business, obviously, with other pros as well. But what a great sponsor they have been for you.
Yeah, I was actually the first guy to put Dakota Lithiums in a bass boat.
Wow.
And I've been with them since the very beginning. I was one of their first employees, if you want to put it that way,
mm-hmm.
And have grown with them. And, they're great to work with. They take, one of my main jobs is getting feedback and what can make it better. And, that's why I believe it's the best lithium battery available today.
Yeah. Now, talk about how much they have changed in recent years, because the technology is moving so fast. I would assume that this Dakota Lithium battery is not the same as the first generation of batteries that came out, right?
Right. No, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's kind of, every other technology there mm-hmm. is, how can we make it better, better is smaller and lighter and more powerful. And they've done that. And, they've done a fantastic job at making it better and always coming up with, you know, new ways to make it better.
Right.
So they got things going on over there, and, you know, they're showing out. And, you know, I'm just proud to be able to represent them.
Yeah. Well, explain some things to us now. Educate us a little bit. We always know, we hear about the fact that they're lighter and so on than an acid-filled battery. But let's say, like, in my Phoenix, I'm running four batteries, and three of them are for the 36-volt, you know, trolling motor system and so on. Do I get three 12-volt Dakota Lithium batteries, or do we just run one 36-volt battery? I mean, how does that work?
You know, you can do both. I mean, if you want to have, you know, a cleaner type look to the back of your boat, you mm-hmm. can just roll with 136 six volt battery, and I think they weigh around 35 pounds. Well, you know, if you take out, you know, three lead acid batteries, they're probably weighing 60 to 70 pounds a piece.
Mm.
I mean, you're cutting all that weight out, and you know, if you want to roll with three 12-volt batteries. I think my three 12-volt batteries combined weigh, you know, close to 45 pounds.
Mm.
So, not to mention the lighter weight, you get longer power, they're stronger, and like I said, they last a lot longer. This week I've been fishing a lot of current, and I can fish, you know, multiple days in strong current and don't have to worry about, you know, my battery's going dead.
So is that what you guys do? Most of the pros, you'll run them in, you know, the 312s in, you know, sequence?
You know, they let us pick what they want. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've got 312s, and there's several other pros that, you know, they're running the 36. It's just kind of preference. So, you know, they're constantly coming out with new 12 volts, you know, at different amp hour and sizes, so they want me, you know, testing a lot of these batteries out, so I roll with the 12 volts.
Yeah, Brock Mosley with us here. All right, and then you have a cranking battery, right? I mean, so that's different. The cranking battery is different, similar to how we would have in a regular lead-acid battery, so you're running one cranking battery into three 12 volts?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually getting ready to release a new cranking battery,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's supposed to, you know, change everything, because as much, you know, as many electronics as we have running off our boats nowadays, you know, some guys running four and five different graphs at a time, you know, you don't have that stress of, am I killing my batteries? Because for, you know, every graph you have running, it's drawing juice out of your boat. So this takes all the concern away you may have on a tournament day and lets you relax and worry about nothing but fishing.
The biggest advantage, is it the lighter weight, or is it the longer lasting? Because you're still charging them, I would think, every night, right? I mean, you know, the idea is still to get them back to a full charge. Is that correct? I've heard guys say, I'm running lithium and I charge like at the end of the tournament.
You know, I don't charge every night. You know, it really just kind of depends what kind of day I've had and what I've put them through. But, you know, I can go several days without charge. If I'm going just pre-fishing somewhere, I'll go, you know, 3 days without charging my batteries some mm-hmm. days. So, you know, on tournament days, you know, as a competitive tournament angler that does it for a living, you know, you don't want to take, you know, the risk of being, you know, well, I should have charged my batteries. You know, you take the risk factor out. Not that there is much risk, but, you know, you just want to make sure you do all your little things right. So, mm. you know, I charge them, you know, on tournament nights for sure.
Right.
But, you know, there'll be some practice days where I'm like, yeah, I know I can make it another day or two.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about the charge. And it helps, you know, there's a lot of places we go. If we get a hotel room, we may not have, you know, an outside outlet to plug into. Well, that's fine. I don't have to charge it tonight.
Right. Brock Mosley with us here talking about Dakota Lithium Batteries. They are now the title sponsor of the Rookie of the Year Chase, and you can learn more about them at DakotaLithium.com. Now, when I'm at DakotaLithium.com, I'm looking at the list of batteries, and it says, you know, cranking batteries, and it says, you know, trolling motor batteries. Then it says fish finder batteries. Now, is this another battery, a different battery, or is that just something optional that you can run a, quote, fish finder battery? Why are they any different than, you know, the batteries that usually power up all of our electronics?
You know, they're more or less just a different amp hours. You don't need a whole lot of amp hours to just, if you have a battery just set aside just mm-hmm. for your electronics on your boat. You know, it don't draw a whole lot of juice. And there's a, you know, that's the way I used to run mine. And before they had a cranking battery, I would just have one, an additional battery, because it's small and lightweight, just for running my electronics on.
Right.
And like I said, it takes that whole drawing my cranking battery down concern out of the game.
Right, right. All right, so I decide to switch over. Let's say I'm going from lead acid to lithium, to Dakota Lithium batteries. Do I need to change my cabling, or is the cabling interchangeable?
It's the same. It's okay. All the same. You know, still run your positives and negatives and your cross wires, and, you know, it's all the same. You know, you may have to adjust your charger just a little bit, but most chargers nowadays charge, you know, you don't even have to reset them or do anything to. Like me, I run a PowerPole charge. I can pull up my PowerPole charge on my app and set it to what batteries I have, and don't have nothing to worry about.
So
it does everything for me.
So potentially the onboard charger that I have in my Phoenix, for example, I can just plug it in and boom, away it goes, or I got to tweak it a little bit.
Most of them you can just plug it in.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays they're all programmed to know what they're charging.
That is really, really cool. All right. And in the Dakota Lithium Rookie of the Year standings, when we look at these standings right now, Bryant Smith leading the way. It's a heck of a race between him and David Gatson, and Will Davis Jr. is in there as well. Cooper Gallant. These young guys, man. Joey C. Fuentes has already won a tournament. I mean, they got some studs that came into this tour this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's there's no slack coming into the elites anymore. I mean, they're all hammers. And, you know, one thing with the rookie race, it always makes a difference at the end of the year is, you know, which one can catch them up north.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them, you know, for the most part, you know, there's a lot of rookies that go up north for the first time, you know, their rookie year. So it ought to be a race to the end. And, you know, we got those three northern tournaments, and we'll have to see who can outlast them.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on Canadian Cooper Gallant when that happens.
You don't bet against Coop.
You don't bet against Coop is right. Brock Mosley has been our guest. Brock, we wish you great luck the rest of the season. Hopefully we're talking again, because top three, you know, after every Elite Series event comes on, you have been on a number of times because you finished second so many times. And we're looking for that win. It's coming. I know it's coming, but we'll look forward to chatting again.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, man, thank you. That's Brock Mosley. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back with a wrap of a winner circle next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Time now for the wrap of a winner circle. Opens Stiley, and... Oh, man, I'll tell you what, it was Powell Kemp getting it done. And I don't know if I want to call it his home pond, but it's Bugs Island, and it's a place that he has fished basically all of his life. And he went in there and made the adjustments necessary to get the victory there and secure a place in the 2024 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic as well. And he joins us now on the VMC hook in the Rapala Winner Circle. Powell, welcome to the show. Congratulations. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, and still trying to re-enter Earth atmosphere.
Well, going in, you must have had a pretty good idea about this. But tell us about your Opens experience in the past. I mean, how many Opens, if any, have you fished before? And was this all about, ooh, they're coming to my home pond? I'm gonna get in this one.
You know, I fished the Opens probably 8 or 10 years ago, I guess, is when it was. Qualified for Bass Fest when Bass used to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Went and fished that at Chickamauga. Watched Jacob Wheeler win his first tournament. So I'd fished the Opens before, and then I fished some other stuff. Fished the tour for 2 or 3 years, the FLW tour. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of COVID kind of stopped everything. I kind of backed off for family reasons, financial reasons, and some health issues, and then COVID came around and kind of just been fishing locally for the last few years.
Were you surprised to see Bugs Island on the schedule? Because this is a place that the Bassmaster hasn't been to in a number of years. And, you know, both on the Elite Series and on the Open Series, there were some new venues out there. Were you a little bit surprised when you saw that Bugs Island showed up on this deal?
I was definitely ecstatic, excited, glad to see it come back. You know, I have fished a few of the opens on the James River where Bass went for a few years, but I was definitely hoping they'd come back to Bugs. Bugs has really come back around a lot since we had the largemouth bass virus about 10 or 12 years ago, you know, and it's really been fishing good. And I thought that Bass could show it off.
Well, they certainly did show it off, and you showed it off with over 48 pounds of fish over 3 days. Did you have a number in mind? Did you think that, yeah, I think I can get this done with 45 pounds, 48 pounds? Did you think you had that big 19-pound-plus bag on day one? But what was your expectation going in that you thought it would take to get it done there?
Honestly, when we discussed it, I really believed that 45 was going – probably do the deal. I mean, just looking at the results from April, the fish were really the 4-pounders, which is, you know, a good amount in Bugs. The 3 and 4-pounders had just kind of gone into hiding since March and April. I mean, I fished a tournament the first week in April right before the cutoff and had 1490 and didn't even get paid. But if I looked at the results during the off limits, you know, the results were showing 12 pounds a day was back into check range, and you know, 16-17 was winning, but most of the time it was being won with somebody had a 5-5.5 pounder to put them over the scope. But the weights had really come down in April, and I really felt like 45 pounds would give you a heck of a shot at winning the tournament. And I didn't know if I was going to be the guy. I just was saying that I thought that 45 was going to be what it took to win.
19.5 pounds on day one. So you must have been really happy with that if you're saying 14, 15 pounds a day to get it done. You knew you had something good going on there. And I understand you came in a little bit early, not that early, but you were afraid that some of your boys were going to give you a hard time because you came in about a half hour early.
Well, that happened the second day. The first day, I actually came back to the launch site 2 hours early, but I had all intentions of going and fishing in the creek that was behind the takeoff area, just because I knew I had 18 plus, and I was like, you know, that this I've got to get back up that way and check out what's going on up there. And I actually caught a 3.5 pounder in cold for another 0.5 pound up there, so that kind of gave me a little bit of a clue they were biting up the lake. And then definitely the second day, like you were talking about, came in 30 to 40 minutes early for check-in. And I was like, well, I better stop and fish or my guys are going to give me a hard time. And I caught 3 and culled another one for 0.5 pound. And that's ultimately where I started the next morning and caught everything I weighed in.
So you go out on Championship Friday and come back with 12.5 pounds. Talk to me about coming back to the ramp and what your thought process was. Did you think you had blown it or you had a big enough lead? You were going wire to wire. What was your thought process coming in with the smaller, you know, your smallest bag on Friday?
Well, you know, I caught them relatively. I caught 4 really quick in like the first 10 or 15 minutes. Was actually getting ready to dirt control motor up and head back down the lake where I was fishing, and caught a 2.5 pounder on the last cast I was going to make to keep me there. And I caught 3 more really quick. So I had 4, and then I fished, you know, 20, 30 minutes maybe, and caught another one to give me number 5. And I had 1 squeaker in there, and I fished another 40 minutes and I caught a 3.5, caught out the little one. And, you know, I felt like it was probably over then, but at that time, but then as the day progressed, I batten hatches down, went back down the nut bush to go check a couple of stretches that I hadn't fished that I found in practice. And I felt like one more bite was to lock it up. But I knew at that point they had to have 19 plus. And there was only a couple of guys that could have 19 plus. Then you moved into the 20 plus, and that's hard to do on Bugs anytime period, but it's definitely hard to do after March.
Yeah, and I would think Paul Kemp with us here talking about his victory at the Bassmaster Open at the Bugs Island, and I would think that you know, a lot of times when you're a local on a certain body of water, they struggle because you're fishing a lot of history where other guys come in with a fresh set of eyes and they'll just go out there and do it in a way that you didn't even know was possible out there. But for you, obviously your local knowledge helped you in so many ways. Talk about how it helped you in terms of making adjustments as the weather changed and of course you had water fluctuation and everything else, and how that local knowledge aided you as opposed to hurt you.
Well, I can definitely say that the Lord blessed me throughout the tournament, but to start with, he did the weather change, and that completely changed the game for everybody and gave locals an edge, because the first 2 days of practice, everybody else was out there. It was 301.20, 301.40. Fish were in a whole different mode, and then it came up a foot and a half. It came up actually 2.5 feet total, but it came up a foot and a half on Sunday. And that changed the whole game. Actually, I went and fished another lake on a tournament on another lake on Sunday, because I didn't even want to be out there when it was doing it, because I knew it was going to change so much that it really was going to play into just running the old knowledge. I did go out Monday and put 14 hours in, or legal time to legal time that whole day, and figured out a few little things, what I needed to look for. And then in the tournament, I fished different water every day.
Really? Really?
Yep. Every day I fished different water. The only place I refished was I started in that little cut the last day that I had ended on the day before, but I did not catch a fish until I got out of the water, until I got 20 yards past where I'd stopped the day before. I caught the first one, and then I went, it was all new water from there. So, the funny story was, second morning, the bass guy came and he said, "Where are you starting at?" I said, "I know you're going to think it doesn't make any sense, but I don't know where I'm going to start at. Here's a red point, and I will be within 1 mile of that point in the wind. That's all I can tell you is where I'll be, because I didn't know where I was going until I got down there and saw where the wind was blowing, and see which way the Lord led me to do."
Man, that is absolutely amazing stuff. And you did it old school as well, throwing a spinner bait. Now, I noticed in the pictures that there's two different spinner baits that you were throwing.
Well, I actually had 5 spinner baits. So the first one I launched with 3 spinner baits, a chatter bait, and 3 flipping baits. And we battled 30 mile an hour winds and 5 footers. So the spinner bait was the only thing I threw that day. I threw a chatter bait a little bit, but got it done with the spinnerbait. The next day I left with 5 spinnerbaits on the deck and 1 chatterbait, one flipping bait. I always had 1 flipping bait out, but I was throwing all different spinnerbaits depending on water clarity, wind direction, the clear water in. I was throwing a smaller bladed, more natural colored spinnerbait. And on the muddy end, I was throwing a bigger bladed chartreuse white spinnerbait.
Yeah.
The more and more I look back at it, I believe the bite was better up the lake, but the mud was coming down so much the first day that I think anybody that tried it, it was no good. And then as that started to clear, relatively speaking, from 0 visibility to 8 to 12 inch visibility, they started to bite. Because I think I did some figuring the other day, I spent 21 hours in a tournament day, I spent down the lake, and 3 hours I spent up the lake, and I ended up weighing 8 of the 15 came from up the lake.
There you go. Paul Kemp with us here in our Rapala Winter Circle. We'll come back with more with him next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. It is the Rapala Winner's Circle with Powell Kemp, coming off of his victory at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Bugs Island. He was talking about the spinnerbaits that he used, so many different. Now, is this your forte, Powell? Is this how you fish? You consider yourself a spinnerbait guy, or did you just feel like it was right for this tournament?
Well, spinnerbaits have definitely been a big part of my arsenal on Bugs' car. I love a spinnerbait. When the conditions are right for it, wind and clouds and those kind of things. I have a little more confidence in it than I do a swim bait. Probably my favorite and probably the thing I would consider myself to be what I'm best at is probably a topwater. And the cold nights just kind of killed that deal on bugs that where you can go catch 40 on topwater. But spinnerbait is definitely right there. The spinnerbait, topwater, and a jig are probably my three favorite things, but definitely spinnerbait, topwater.
But I noticed no trailer. I mean, which is something that, you know, everybody seems to throw a trailer. Now you did have a trailer hook, but you had no plastic on there. Talk about that. And when you decide that you do want to put, you know, a swim bait or something on the back of a spinnerbait, as opposed to when you throw it, you know, without anything.
Well, I had a couple that had a small plastic split tail trailer on it, and I had a couple without. But I really think sometimes that you put that swim bait on, one, it makes your bait come up higher, which if you're trying to keep your bait down, and I was trying to keep my bait down where you, you know, right at that point where you couldn't see it anymore, but, you know, that point, when you put a heavier or a bigger bodied swim bait on it, it brings it up, so, you know, it makes it more buoyant. So I really wanted the bait to stay down in the clear water, and I wanted to keep it where I could move it faster. When you put something, a bigger plastic on it, you got to reel it slower to keep it down. And I didn't want them to get but so good of a look at it. I wanted them to react to it rather than say, here it is. Now, the muddy water end was completely different. I was throwing a super slow spinner bait, and it was just kind of thumping back to me where I could just barely see it again, which visibility was low, but they were coming out and crushing it.
Now, talk about the I assume these are all post-spawn fish or mostly post-spawn fish. What was your thought there, and how did you decide where you were attacking them? Are you fishing a bank? Are you fishing offshore in points? Tell us about that.
Well, I truly believe most of the fish I caught in the lower end of the lake were spawning fish. I believe it was the females with the males on the bed and where they had laid out, and they were, you know, on that 2 or 3 day window after they've laid that they stay there where you would normally target with a swim bait or something else. And I believe that because I would fish 1 mile stretches of bank and only get one or two bites, and they were always sitting on a buck brush, and I had a lot of fish where I caught two off the same bush. There's really no other way to explain how you fish for a mile and you catch two off one bush except for if they're spawning. The females I caught in the lower end were definitely skinny, but everything that told that's what those fish were doing. And I think the reason why you couldn't get a lot of bite is it was the last spawners coming up. The shad were not up because of the cold air, so there was not a lot of feeding fish up and down these banks. It was just the last spawners that I was catching.
All right, so $52,000, which will pay a few bills and buy a few spinnerbaits, no doubt about it. But, man, you're in the 2024 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're going to be walking across that stage. You're going to be riding in on that boat when they haul you in there. And, you know, top 55 anglers in the world going after it for the biggest title in the world, in the world of bass fishing. I mean, that's got to be a dream come true.
It's absolutely a dream come true. It's every fisherman's dream that fishes for fun or any kind of bass fisherman. That's the dream. I just hope that I can go out there and catch one bass to be able to walk across the stage and get that part done. But, you know, for all the guys I fish against and fish with, and the grassroots guys, it's a dream come true. And it's a blessing that most people will never see, and I'm fortunate for whatever reason, you know, I get to go do it. So I'll hope not to let it go by the wayside.
Well, I don't want to scare you, but they drag you out on the scale, on the stage, even if you don't have one to weigh in. So I just
no pressure. I get to walk across the stage regardless.
You're going to walk across the stage, and I saw Skeet Reese come across that stage twice. At Hartwell without Fish one time. So you're still gonna have that chance to talk to Dave Mercer on that stage in Tulsa, and you still have a couple of more of these deals to Fish. On the Opens series, in your division, are you familiar with any of these other waters? I mean, what's your thought price? There's still money to be made out there.
Yeah, I've been to Thousand Islands four or five times. I'm looking forward to that one because I have not been there since the 23 to 25 pound, the new Thousand Islands that you've got to have giants. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there and catching some big smallmouth. A buddy of mine is going, he signed up as a co-angler. He's going to go with me. So go out there and have a good time, enjoy it. But I'm looking forward to that one. Watts Bar, it'll kind of be, I've never been there, and I don't think we can lock the Chickamauga. I'm 99% sure I look, but I don't think so. But because I've been to Chickamauga a few times, but never been to Watts Bar. Heard a little bit about it when I was on the Chick, but, it'll be a new challenge. I love to, when I traveled a lot, my favorite thing about was going to a lake that I'd never seen and trying to pick it apart. It's really what I enjoy about tournament fishing is the challenge of a new body of water. Instead of you get on your local body of water and you say, well, I've already tried that 30 times and I've never got a bite there. So you don't go there. So you feel good about what's on a new place. I do. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Watts will be interesting then. I only live about an hour and a half from Watts Bar and I've never fished it. It's hard to go past Chick to get to Watts, but I know a lot of guys that, that live near and on Chick that fish Watts quite a bit. Tennessee River in September though, that can be a grind. That will be a challenge. That won't be that isn't the best time in the world to hit the Tennessee River. But not that a lot of folks around here. Most folks around here are in a stadium watching a football game at that time of the year anyway. So we'll see how that one all shakes out. But congratulations on the win. At the very least, we'll see you in Tulsa. If I don't see you at one of these opens, and it's really, really good stuff. Congrats.
All right, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Powell Kemp getting in off of his win and very appreciative for him. He sounds very appreciative to have that win. Okay, before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. There was an incredible report coming from Lake Okeechobee last week where a one-day tournament out of the Roland Martin Marina took 30 pounds to make the top 20. The winning team was just under 37 pounds. As Scott Martin fished with his daughter Hillary, they finished 23rd with 29 pounds, 6 ounces. I mean, what an amazing event. And this past week, the disqualification of Keith Poche's day one catch at the Toledo Bend Open was upheld. According to reports, Poche may have accessed an area that was blocked by an earthen dam that was wider than the length of his aluminum boat. Now, Poche is a noted skinny water angler, but this one may have been a bit too skinny. Check out pofishing.shop for our exclusive lifestyle line, #fishon, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the Legendary Lake Series as well to see if your favorite lake is featured. You can even buy Bassmaster Radio gear and check out the new line of coffee mugs as well. That's pofishing.shop. Also visit bassmaster.shop for some of the freshest styles that we have seen in quite a while. Bassmaster Shop is also the home of all your official Bassmaster Classic gear as well. And if you are looking for the best in sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. They have all the major logos and will set your artwork up for you as well. They'll get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, or they'll work with you on a custom design. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the past several years, and I couldn't be happier. Visit VFOutdoors.com to get yours started today. That's long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodies, and more. It's VFOutdoors.com. And although we've hit the halfway point of the season, it's not too late to get into the action with Rapala Fantasy. fantasy fishing, and we have a group that you can join as well, the Beat the Bassmaster Radio group. Here's how it works. If you go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy Fishing, you create an account and log in, then select Join a Group from the group's pull down. Each week, the high point earner in our group wins a prize package from the show's sponsors and gets a shout out on the show. Plus, everyone that finishes higher than me gets entered into a drawing for a prize package. So enter today and try and beat Bassmaster Radio. Now remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the nation button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio.